was born one morning, the rain a pouring down. Heard my mammy say to my pappy, let's call him John Henry Brown. Walk on, boy, walk on down the road. Ain't nobody in this whole wide world gonna help you carry your load. My pappy told me some advice I'd like to give to you. Son, find a good woman, be good to her, and she's gonna be good to you. Walk on, boy, walk on down the road. Ain't nobody in this whole wide world gonna help you carry your load. My mammy and pappy, just about the age of 10. Lord, I got me a job working on the levee, doting water for the hard-working men. Walk on, boy, walk on down the road. Ain't nobody in this whole wide world gonna help you carry your load. Should ask you just who is that fella Brown, you can tell him I'm the boy that left his hammer smoking where he beat that old steam drill down. Walk on, boy, walk on down the road. Ain't nobody in this whole wide world gonna help you carry your load.
Hello, Annie.
Hello, Peggy.
And hello, Justin.
Hello.
And what time is it right now?
It is 12:03 here in Cincinnati.
At WAIF FM. And you know, the end of that song was talking about leaving his hammer smoking. And we're going to learn how to smoke some hammers, even if we're all sedentary computer operators or office workers.
Uh-huh.
Learn how to smoke them hammers and learn how to
beat those old steam drills down.
Without reading, we need our phone line without reading a bunch of diet books.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to join Weight Watchers. It costs too much money. You don't want to read all these diet books. They cost too much money. It doesn't work. It's labor intensive. We found a man named Reinhard Ingels, who was struggling and grappling in the world of diet and exercise because he's a computer person and he sits down all day. And he's like, what can I do about this? You know, because it's just very difficult to
I think anyone control. Who works in an office, yeah. You have that feeling. You just turn into a slug.
You know? That might be Reinhard. I hope this time.
Yeah, that's the office line. Okay. Yeah, Reinhard is going to be our call-in guest this afternoon.
He is going to call us up and talk to us about these brilliant ideas he's come up with where it's free to manage your own weight and have actual success at this. You don't have to count things. You don't have to exclude certain foods. You don't have to. Is that a local number? Is that a local number that's calling right
it's
now?
It's not coming up.
Okay. Because it could be. I hope he's not like jumping into the wrong, like it won't jump him into the wrong line or something like that. Okay. But, you know, I've tried. You know, okay, I've heard about a lot of diets where there's certain foods that you are not allowed to eat. And even though mm-hmm. we're vegetarian, vegan people, and a lot of our listeners are. Some of our listeners just listen, and they aren't really vegetarian or vegan. Maybe they're thinking about it, or they're just have some other issues or whatever. But even vegans can, even though they're usually smaller in size than their meat-eating counterparts, they can still have a problem with 10 pounds that just won't go away.
Or more.
Well, and then 20 pounds, whatever.
If you find those products, you know, the junk food products that are out there.
It's too easy now.
It's very easy to get addicted to those, even as a vegan.
Yeah.
But as far as I understand, you know, this diet works whether you are, you know, a carnivore, a vegan, Weight Watchers, you know.
And it's a very simple thing. It's almost like too simple. Like, why didn't we all think of this? Do we have Reinhard
on? And we have Reinhard on
the line. All right. All right. Let's hear Reinhard.
Let me play with these buttons for
a minute.
Get
we're going to play with the buttons.
Reinhard, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right.
All right, you're live on the air.
Can
we turn up the volume on Reinhard just a little bit? Okay, how you doing, Reinhard?
I'm doing well. A little nervous, but pretty good.
Oh, okay. You don't have to be nervous because we're kind to.
Thank you. I listened and I absolutely. But.
And how's your week been?
It's been busy.
Have you been following your no S diet all week?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And this is an S day.
Today is an S day. Yes.
It's a day we can all celebrate. Maybe we should explain. Maybe we should let you explain.
Why is
this an S day, and what is the no S diet?
Okay, it's very simple. It's an S day because it's Saturday, and Saturday starts with the letter S.
Ah.
And so it sounds sort of ridiculous almost, but it makes a bit of sense if you think about it. I'll just give the rules really quickly.
Okay.
It's very short. Maybe not the chief, but the first selling point. So the no-S diet is no snacks, no sweets, no seconds, except sometimes on days that start with S. And days that start with S are the obvious ones, Saturdays, Sundays, and also special days, holidays.
Okay.
So when you say no sweets, are you talking no sugar during the week?
No, so that's actually kind of important because... The no sugar would mean you'd have to constantly be checking ingredients and so on. No sweets is just things where it's the principal source of calories is sugar.
So a candy bar is a sweet.
A candy bar, right. It's really the obvious stuff, the low-hanging fruit. And fruit is, regular fruit is fine, just so to speak. But the idea is you don't want to go crazy and overboard. Most of us eat so excessively that even just dropping sort of the most egregious forms of excess will give us great results and not make us completely crazy.
Well, I have to say my husband tried this and lost 4 pounds the first week, and he's not, most people wouldn't even consider him overweight. You know, he's one of the people that knows he needs to lose, but you wouldn't look at him and say he's overweight. So usually the bigger a person is, you know, the more they lose,
right.
But he just tried it, went through a stressful week, managed. He was real happy it was Saturday when it was Saturday.
Right.
And he was 4 pounds lighter, you know, on the scale. It's like, wow.
Yeah. I think a lot of us don't realize just how much we overeat, and it really doesn't take much to make a difference.
And we're, in America at least, we are chronic snackers, and I think a big part of the success of the no-S diet, and we can call it the nose diet if we want to, can't we?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
sort of, works both ways, right?
But one of the big parts that makes it successful is that we don't snack except on those S days.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know if people realize that we are really in a snacking culture.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think one of the things, too, snacking is the S that people seem to have the most problems accepting. Because it seems like every diet sort of tells you now that snacks are good. And there's even... some research that people like to quote that it if you eat in a lot of little meals, you metabolize the calories more efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really in a position to evaluate that research, but I'll accept for the sake of argument that it's true. But what the problem is, and other research shows this, that if you snack, you just eat more calories because it's much harder to get an intuitive sense of how much you're eating. And so even though maybe you're metabolizing them slightly more efficiently, you're eating so much more that you still get fat.
Well, I know, you know, when if I snack all day long, I never really get the sensation of hunger, not really. And that could throw me off a little bit, you know, because you don't, if you're not hungry, it's kind of a yin-yang. I mean,
right.
You can't get full if you're not hungry, you know?
Right, absolutely.
So it just it's just like a constant, steady stream of food, and you never feel like stopping. So
right.
I think that might be a big part of it.
So now, how did you come up with this whole idea of the no S?
Well, I think it was just, I was reaching sort of one of my heavier points. I think this was the end of 2001 or the beginning of 2000. The website went up in early 2002, but I think I thought of it a few months before then. And I just, I think my wife came up with the exception, the critical exception on S Days.
Oh.
It's sort of, you know, shrouded in mystery there, the origins of all this stuff.
Right. But, you can thank her for us.
Yeah.
For we love S Days.
Hearing about this at this point. But, but yeah, so I'm not really sure exactly sort of when the eureka moment was.
How much have you lost?
I've lost, the number I quote is over 40 pounds. So, which is sort of conservative, because I was over 210 when I started, and I say I'm 170 now, but I'm 170 maybe after dinner, after a big dinner.
Actually, you should give us your website on the air here so people can, there's pictures of yourself on the website.
Yeah. So it's nosdiet.com.
Okay.
That's just N-O-S.
Diet.com. Yeah, so there's no hyphens or underscores or anything.
Okay. And we can read your little essay on there. It's very entertaining. It's funny, and it's simple, and it's straightforward, and it just has brilliant ideas, I think, on it. So it's a very pleasant read on the internet. And it's got pictures, so you can see.
Yeah, you strive to make it enjoyable, too. You know,
Now, there are also our bulletin boards on there. What's the purpose of that?
Yeah, so I guess, you know, a lot of people, you know, they see this and it's sort of amusing and, you know, it's sort of a fun idea. But people have actually done this and lost a bunch of weight on it. And some people have even lost a lot more weight than I have. And so for one thing, you can sort of see some evidence, if you want to call it that, that this has worked for other people. And for another thing, you can just get support. If you have questions about it's surprising how many questions have it. These rules, you know, just 14 words seems so simple, but there's all kinds of questions people have.
Because you know, there's all kinds of ways to eat, so we get confused easily. Now, I think one question I saw on your website, mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly where I saw this. Uh-huh. The part about no seconds.
Yeah.
And then there's a technique called virtual plating that might come up here. Tell us about that? I'll let you tell us.
This is an advanced technique. So
it's
not recommended.
Maybe I'm more advanced than I thought I was.
Yeah. No, it's good, though. So anyway, the idea is there's sometimes situations in which you're just not going to be, you can't just do one plate without sort of really depriving yourself or making a big scene or something. Like, let's say you were at a buffet or something, or let's say you know you were a guest somewhere and they serve you a plate of soup and something on the side or something like that. The idea is with a virtual plate, what you do in these situations where you can't actually limit yourself to one physical plate is you imagine a virtual plate and you imagine what you're eating fitting on that plate so that and make sure that yes, this actually could fit on a plate here. And that's sort of open to abuse, so it's something I don't recommend except when you're in sort of funny situations. It's not something I'd recommend as a regular everyday thing.
That's why it's sort of your advanced technique.
Exactly, right.
Okay, now so. I have done this in my efforts of no S. My husband had the same situation where we wake up early in the morning and we don't have a huge appetite when we first get up, but before the morning's over, the appetite comes.
Yeah.
So we wake up and have like a cup of coffee and a banana.
Uh-huh.
And then mid-morning, it's going to hit us. Not even mid-morning, maybe an hour later by the time we get to work.
Yeah.
And then we virtually plate the rest of our breakfast at that point.
Right.
Now, that's not cheating or anything, is it?
Oh, no. And these are all, you know, this isn't some kind of dogma or something. It's supposed to be a structure to help you. And a lot of people actually have sort of modified it a little bit because I'm very crafty on the website. I don't actually say how many meals.
Yes, I've seen that, where some people are told by their doctors they have to eat six meals a day. And what? How do you tell them that they can fit this in?
So basically, I mean, I think it's easiest to do when you do three meals, because it just it's the more meals you have, the sort of more easy it is to deceive yourself. So it's better to stick with, I think, three meals. But if for whatever reason, if for your schedule, you know, four meals would make sense, that could work too. But you just have to stick with it, and you have to kind of realize that, okay, you know, this meal needs to be, I need to use a smaller plate for this meal or something.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how that can work. So again, it's, you know, I think the ideal is, you know, try out three, see how that works. But if that's not going to work, do four or whatever, you know, your doctor or your schedule demands.
Mm-hmm. And now this is something that will work with, you know, whether you're on a vegan diet or, you know, if you're a meat eater mainly, this works with everything, right?
Yeah, it kind of, my idea was I was just going to sort of very specifically target the bad habit of overeating and leave a lot of other sort of related and interesting and important questions alone to let you solve differently.
Right.
Because if I think confusing these issues means you're not really going to solve any of them very well. So yeah, NOS, you can do it with low carb if you want. You can do it with vegan. So it's very compatible with, mm-hmm. with a lot of other diet plans that focus on nutrition or other stuff.
Now, we're vegans, and one thing that I've liked when I tried the NOS diet, I tried it because, you know, I got the annoying 10 pounds that I wouldn't mind losing. And I found it, you know, effective and easy to use and even kind of fun, you know, because it just makes you appreciate your meals and look forward to your meals.
Yeah.
And you're more careful about your meals. But the one thing I really was surprised about, and everybody that knows me knows I'm a pig, so maybe that's what this is all about, is that I don't have to cook really as much because we have a lot more leftovers.
Yeah.
It used to be, you know, just enough for the dog to lick the pan out.
Right.
And now it's like, wow, we've got two or three lunches coming out of this meal that I made, you know?
Yeah.
So it even kind of saves you money and a little bit of effort because, I cook everything from scratch. Being a vegan, that's really the best way to do that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it takes away from too much busy time in the kitchen, and the grocery bill is smaller. And I think,
it's a funny thing because there was this study I read recently where they calculated how much it would cost above just overeating to just go on most diets, and it was ridiculous. It was very expensive to go on most diets, which is mm-hmm. crazy if you think about it, because you know you should eat less, and that should cost less.
Right.
So
it should cost more to get fat than it does
exactly,
to get skinny.
Yeah. So sometimes I write the NOS. A little dollar sign.
Oh yeah.
that's a really good point though. With all those, you know, they want you to buy the special meals and you know, buy the special programs. But another question that comes to mind with the NOS is when you say that there are also some special days that allowed, do you kind of have a limit as to how many special days a person should have during the course of, you know, a year?
Well, generally I think you're pretty safe. If you limit it to sort of major holidays,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't worry about it too much. What I would worry about is if you start taking lots of special days that no one else has ever heard of.
Right, everybody's birthday and
yeah,
National Potato Week.
Right, so that's sort of, I don't get the sense from people posting to the board that is too much of an issue.
Okay.
Now, I know some people that have major issues with understanding what a holiday is. And it's just all the, you know, it's the whole family's together and we only see each other once a month, so I'm going to pig out. You know, it's like, I know people that do these things on a regular basis, or there's this major denial about how special is this day anyway.
Yeah, I haven't heard too much about that, but I will think about it.
I'd like to
personally been an issue, certainly.
I'd like to say again about your bulletin boards that people also get on there. You have a 21 day. It's not your thing. I mean, you know, we've all read it someplace that 21 days is a habit setting amount of time.
I have no idea if this is true, but
it's kind of like common knowledge. I mean, people generally
just accept
that, I think. But there's sort of like people can get on your website and log on and do a little 21 day countdown while they're setting the habit. Sort of as a, it's kind of like your Weight Watchers idea of of the morale boosting, you know, people kind of cheering each
supporting
other on
each other.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Like and a one day 19 or whatever.
I think the 21 days is, you know, obviously this is sort of a somewhat arbitrary number, but I think it's important to give yourself sort of some pretty short-term goal that at the same time really does something for you and does build up your habit to some degree. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the nice things about the NoS diet is that it really is a very habit-friendly behavior. It's not something that requires a whole lot of keeping track or conscious attention. So you can really kind of automate a lot of this into just unconscious behaviors.
Well, and you don't have to have calculators or be reading the, you know, this has this many calories or,
yeah,
you know.
It's really nice. It's I enjoy food so much more this way.
Yeah, I've tried counting calories, and that is, to me, that's a miserable way to live. To be calculating every meal you eat is, that's not fun.
The Weight Watchers slide rule.
Yeah, although, you know, Weight Watchers is an effective thing for a lot of people, but there's so much work involved. If you can set your thermostat inside your mind, you know, to do it for you.
Yeah, it's also so amazingly unnatural. No one did this until we all got fat.
Right, that's
so
a good point.
It's funny that this is the solution now to count all these things.
Yeah,
it's sort of a micromanagement that just does not fit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess that brings me to one other point, which is that one of the reasons I think it's a system that really feels very, very good and natural when you get into it is that it really is more or less the way people ate throughout lots of different cultures throughout history. And I think that sort of makes it very easy to settle in. Mm-hmm. As a new habit, because it really it jives very well with the way historically people have eaten.
And there must be some kind of reason why I think if I'm correct in assuming this, most cultures settle on like three meals a day as considered adequate, enjoyable mm-hmm. food.
Yeah, yeah.
Except
yeah.
for festivities, which
well,
would be the S days.
I think one of the things too. I think three meals is nice. I read something about some refugee from Darfur or something who came over and couldn't believe that people actually, you know, had enough food to eat three meals a day, more than one or two meals a day.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm talking about non-war-torn society.
Yeah, three right. meals is your optimum, you know, thing that you strive for if you're a human being. It's mm-hmm. It works
yeah.
the best.
Yeah, I think you know, if you think about how difficult it used to be to produce food and to prepare it, it was very, very inconvenient. I mean, that was most of what people were doing all the time. And you didn't just sort of snack then.
Right.
I mean, it was a big deal. You came together, mm-hmm. and you appreciated and you valued it, and it was a social event,
right.
Which I think is another great byproduct of NoS is that it reinforces the socialness of meals.
Right. And you do... I don't know. I feel like it's a foreign thing for me to allow myself to get hungry before a meal, as sorry as that sounds. But I enjoy meals more when I'm kind of hungry.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know I don't eat
funny
as much.
It sounds so obvious when you say it.
Yeah.
And people sort of have this terror today of being hungry ever.
Right.
They talk about pangs and cravings yeah. as if this is some disease or
you're
something.
We're not used to it.
Right.
Know?
Well, and then just watching Peggy do the NoS diet, I find it kind of amusing in a way that, you know, when the weekends come and she goes out and she gets a snack, you know, something really tasty and sweet.
That I've looked forward to all week.
Oh, she thoroughly enjoys it. I'm just sitting there eating it, and I'm like, wow, I'm not enjoying this nearly as much as
yeah.
she is.
I look like a dog with a bone, you know?
And then she can't actually finish half of it because she's so
yeah,
used to
eating. That's another thing. I used to, you know, I would polish off this by the Rice Dream ice cream substitute, and you know, that was like, I could sit down and put that away in a few minutes.
Right.
Now it's like, you know, I want to keep going, but I'm like, ugh, I can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't eat it like I used to. It's I think of it as sort of a self-induced bariatric surgical technique.
Right.
That my stomach is not the same size, you know, and I can't eat that stuff.
It's actually one of the things one of the things people worry about is, will I just binge like crazy on the weekends when I have, on S days, when you have license to do whatever you want. And I found that people worry about this a lot more than it's an actual problem. And I think one of the reasons I think it doesn't actually become a problem, and you can actually be sort of proactive about this, is that If you reward yourself, if you see the sweets as a reward on the weekend, you're not just going to eat any trash that's lying in front of you.
Right.
You're going to be eating something really nice, and it's
going
to, you know, your appetite is going to feel well taken care of. It's not going to want to take revenge on just whatever is lying around.
Right. And I think I've seen on some of your message boards where people say that for their meals, they're a little bit more nutritionally conscious than they used to be.
Yes, and this is funny too, because as I said, I don't you know have any nutritional requirements as part of NOS, but I think there's a great side effect of kind of you know by limiting your meals to these limited opportunities. It forces you to take them more seriously, because you can't think, oh, I'm going to make up for this junk by eating broccoli later or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
This is your chance, and you've got to do it right.
And this is sort of like a natural evolution of the mind that comes along with this more natural way of eating.
Yeah, I think so.
Your three plates a day, they all count, they all matter, you look forward. When I used to be terrified of hunger, I'm not real crazy about hunger right now, but if I get hungry between meals, you know, I can pacify myself and say, well, you know, what am I going to make for supper? And boy, that's going to be good. And, you know, you just, every meal becomes an important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And every meal is then a reward for your having waiting for it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break here.
I want to talk about where the sledgehammer comes in.
Where the sledgehammer comes in. We're playing our sledgehammer songs today. Give us your website one more time before we take our break.
Okay, it's so the NOS Diet website is nosdiet.com.
All right, thank you.
Let's listen to a piece of music.
Stay tuned. We'll have more Reinhard Engels and his shovel gloving technique.
Every mile of track, with the muscles on my arm and the sweat upon my back. And now the trains are rolling, they roll to every shore. You tell me that my job is through, there ain't no work no more. Though I lay down your highways all across the land, with the ringing of the steel and the power of my hands. And now the roads are there like ribbons in the sky. You tell me that my job is through, but still I wonder why. For the wages were low and the hours were long, and the labor was all I could bear. Now you've got new machines for to take my place, and you tell me it's not mine to share. Though I lay down your factories and lay down your fields, with my feet on the ground and my back to your wheels. And now the smoke is rising, the steel is all aglow. I'm walking down a jobless road, and where am I to go? For the wages were low, and the hours were long, and the labor was all I could bear. Now you've got new machines for to take my place, and you tell me it's not mine to share. Though I lay down your factories and lay down your fields, with my feet on the ground and my back to your wheels. And now the smoke is rising, the steel is all aglow. I'm walking down a jobless road, and where am I to go? Tell me, where am I to go?
And you're listening to Healthy Planet on WAIF 88.3 FM Cincinnati. And we're doing a fun drive right now. So if you want to pledge some support, please visit www.waif883.org. And we're here with Reinhard Engels today on Healthy Planet.
Did you fill up your coffee, Reinhard?
No, I'm going to try to do this straight, no fortification.
Wow. Before we get into shovel gloving, I want to say that you do have a in between meals, people do drink things.
Oh, yeah. I don't have any explicit rules about that. As long as you're not drinking, you know, sugar soda, I think it's fine. Whatever it takes to get you. I mean, I personally tend to stick with non-caloric drinks, water, black coffee. You know, if you need a glass of orange juice or something to get you through, it's much better just in terms of building the habit. Yes, it's still caloric, but I think the really important thing is just to firmly build that habit. And if a glass of orange juice is what it's going to take, then so be it.
Okay. Now, you know, when I stumbled onto your website a while back, and I don't even remember how come I ended up there, and I couldn't stop reading it. It's informative, it's creative, it's imaginative.
Thank you.
You've got a great imagination, and this diet is built on imagination, but then even more so, for those of us who sit by a computer and then your body's achy and tired when you come home and you don't want to go out to some gym and get in the traffic and pay, you know, $300 a year for some place you're not going to go to.
Right.
And
that's their whole business model.
Yeah. So, you know, in my office now, if my boss is listening to this, he's going to freak out because he doesn't know this. I have a 10-pound sledgehammer in my office.
I am very impressed.
How'd you get that past security?
I came in early in the morning. Now, I'll tell you what. I would not have bought a sledgehammer if I wouldn't have come across Reinhardt's site. And Reinhardt, I'm going to let you take it from here and tell my boss how come I've got a sledgehammer.
Okay. This is a bit stranger than the OS here, and I'm sort of surprised that this one took off. I think it's a great system, but it's a little more idiosyncratic. So basically, you know, my problem was around the same time as I started OS, a little afterwards, I was trying to motivate to go to the gym, and I just couldn't make myself do it.
Understandable,
and, I don't think this is an unusual problem, but I came up with an unusual solution. And I was thinking of something I'd read in some French novel about how coal shovelers had the best abdominal muscles of anyone the author had ever seen. And I thought, wow, that's what I got to do. I got to somehow, you know, shovel coal, because that sounds really fun. That's just not like, you know, the Nautilus machine or something awful
right.
like that. And so I started thinking about ways, how can I do this? How can I mimic this movement, short of, you know, actually shoveling coal? I thought, okay, I need a shovel, and I need some sort of weight attached to the shovel, and then I need something to sort of cushion the shovel so I don't ding up my floors or kill my very nosy cats. And now I've got a very nosy 2-year-old as well. So what I wound up doing is buying a sledgehammer and wrapping a sweater around it, and then doing lots of sort of labor-inspired movements, so shoveling driving fence posts and churning butter and chopping trees and
Smite the orc.
Yes, exactly. Smite
Somebody
the orc. That's a,
call it
a
that.
Alternate name for the fire. Yeah. So and my sort of rationale was that these moves would be a lot more fun to do than moves I'd do in the gym. They'd be more convenient to do because I could do them in my living room. They'd be cheaper to do because the sledgehammer is not that expensive. And they'd also exercise muscles that I'd actually directly want to use in real life. So I don't know, there's this thing called functional fitness, which I actually hadn't heard of at the time, but I've since heard quite a bit about it, which is the idea that exercise should leave you fit for something, not just sort of, you know, pretty boy muscles or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Shovel Glove does that, but I think it's even better than this functional fitness because it doesn't just try to leave you fit for something, but it uses the movements of the actual something to keep your mind engaged.
Right.
And it is
fun.
Yeah,
it's surprisingly really fun.
This is the thing people repeat over and over again about how much fun it is. And they sort of, they wake up and they feel lousy, and then they swing the hammer the first time and they're totally charged up.
That's me. I hate mornings. You can ask Annie. I'm just not a morning person, never have been.
Yep.
But I get up at 5:55 every weekday, drag myself down the steps and pick up that hammer, and I feel great about 5 swings in, and I'm Superman, ready to go to work.
Yeah,
and I can already tell a difference. How long have you been doing it?
I think I'm coming up on about 3 months now.
3 months, yeah. But I can definitely tell a difference. And, you know, he used to go to the gym a lot and work out and never really saw many results. And I'd always came like, oh, just keep working, you know. But now I can actually, you know, I can see a good difference in him.
6 or 7 months out of this year, I was working out at school, and then my company has a weight room in our new building we just moved into, which was great. I was like, wow, I can work out every day. And so I stayed after work every day and just worked my butt off, and then just didn't get anywhere. A month of Shovel Glove gave me more results than 6 or 8 months of dumbbells at the gym.
And I should ask Reinhard too, how long are we talking about that you have to do this every day?
This is one of the things I like most about it. So what I say is you should do it for 14 minutes every weekday, and rest on weekends and holidays. So you use the sort of same sort of daily schedule as the No-S diet, which I think is a really natural, useful structure for organizing a lot of habits. And the 14 minutes, which sounds crazily arbitrary, is a little bit arbitrary, but it's arbitrary sort of in a way that I think actually isn't arbitrary. It actually is a good amount of time, just enough to get some, you know, real significant benefit. But the best thing about it is that it's 1 minute less than the smallest unit of schedulistically significant time. So no calendar has a granularity finer than 15 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. You never have a meeting or an appointment at, 9:05 or 9:14 or something.
Right.
And of course, there's a little bit of a jokey element in this, but that's kind of intentional, too, because it makes you realize how silly your excuses for getting out of this are going to be.
Right. It's like charging $2.99 instead of $3. It just sounds easier than 15 minutes. It's shorter.
Yeah.
Now, I should tell people, also, you also have Shovel Glove bulletin boards in case people don't get a clear picture of this, from the radio. And you actually have little videos on your website for free. People can look, and you demonstrate the moves yourself.
Yeah, So shovelglove.com, so it's Shovel Glove, no hyphens or spaces or underscores or anything, .com. If you go there, there's a bulletin board to discuss this stuff, and there are also YouTube video clips of me doing all these moves, because I could never explain this.
I can imagine the people at home like, you do what with a sledgehammer? Yeah.
I've tried to have this conversation with coworkers, and it didn't go well.
But there's men and women both that enjoy doing this.
Oh, absolutely, and I think that's one of the things. A lot of people think, it's such a sort of macho thing or whatever. But, some of the moves are actually sort of from traditional, women's work, like churning butter and so on.
Not, right.
Not to say anything offensive here, but,
But it doesn't take, like, He-Man, strength or anything.
Right. In fact, the site where I get, I think, most of my incoming hits from is a site called stumptuous.com, which is by a woman about her workout routine, which involves Shovel Glove.
Mm-hmm.
So, we've got a big female user base, which I'm very happy about. Surprised me a little bit, but then I thought about it, and it didn't surprise me.
I like it, and I probably started. I went to the hardware store and swung a few hammers around, trying to pick out which one. I don't think it even cost $20. I'm not sure. I can't remember, but I probably should have gotten one lighter sledgehammer than I got, but I tend to be sort of a gung-ho type person, so I went up, got the 10-pound one, and I had, I could feel it, for the first couple of weeks, like, wow.
Yeah.
But I'm getting better at that 10-pound now, and it's...
Yeah, 10 pounds is a good weight.
Yeah. I'm getting better. I can smite the orc really good.
I think one thing, people, because they say, 10 pounds, that's not much, I can curl 10 pounds, but on the end of this stick, it's a lot. The leverage really
it's not like 10 pounds in your hand. It's
about 3 feet out at the end of a stick.
And on your little demos that you've got on the web there, you're doing a 20-pound sledgehammer.
Wow. So this is after several years of doing this.
Okay.
And, I just want to I started with a 12-pound sledgehammer, and I stuck with that for over a year. And then I went to a 16-pound sledgehammer and stuck with that for even longer than that. So I would really caution about just, it's much better to start a little too low than a little too heavy, because it's not going to be fun if you're just sort of dragging this thing
if you're
around.
Hurting yourself and having a
time.
So, it's important to put that sweater on the end of it.
I think it's important, you know, because people are like, oh, what do I need this sweater for? You know, if I smack someone in the head, it's not a difference. And there's an element of truth to that, but it's kind of like a helmet in you know, the armed forces or something.
Yeah.
You know, if someone shoots you in the head, it's not going to help you, but it's going to help you for a lot of little...
Well, I've had a couple of little incidents with Tuck the Bales, and I was glad there was a sweater on it. Because it would have been bad without one.
Yeah, I've got myself in the knees a couple of times shoveling snow. So.
Yeah, and I guess I should emphasize that I really don't have any kind of health professional background. And so... you know, do not take anything I say here on authority, because I have no authority. This is just, you know, a hobby I do in my spare time. I'm a computer programmer, you know, just really be careful with this. And you can obviously, you know, really hurt yourself swinging around.
So you definitely want to make sure the weight that you pick is, you know, like you said, on a little bit on the low side at first, if you have to pick between something too low and too high.
Yeah, and I think the common report that people give is, I got this weight, it seemed fine, but oh my God, I couldn't do 14 minutes or whatever. It's really harder than it seems.
Right.
Sort of, you know, holding the hammer.
It is. I can vouch for that. It's a tough workout. It really is. But it's also the kind, I used to do Nautilus, and Nautilus has a tendency to tighten your muscles and maybe even shorten them.
And it can take away your flexibility as well.
This is more the opposite. I think it does, it loosens your muscles while it uses your muscles. And it may be because it is more natural imitation of work movements, you know.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I've never had that kind of soreness that I used to have back when I went to the gym. I mean, I have soreness, but it's sort of a good soreness.
Yeah.
It's not a soreness that debilitates me.
Right. You can really be achy from Nautilus, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think it's because they really isolate these muscles. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, it's weird because you get, like, this muscle will get tremendously worked and its neighbor is just sort of resting.
Right.
I think you get this.
It's so contrived. With shovel glove and things like that, it's a much more dynamic kind of movement. You're incorporating a lot of stabilizing muscles that you don't even really know that you have. You use them all the time for daily stuff, but it's like they're giving out before your biceps and your triceps are. It's all the stabilizers that you don't know how to work are falling apart, but shovel glove involves those in ways that you wouldn't think to.
Yeah.
And so I do have a question. I know I've seen some of your videos on the different movements of the shovel glove, the different exercises. And now, do you do any kind of ab work outside of the shovel glove?
No, I don't.
Okay.
And we can see your abs on one picture, and they look like, you know, pretty decent abs.
Well, I mean, you have to remember, the reason I got turned on to the whole idea of shoveling was this thing about the coal miner's abs.
Right.
It does, and a lot of people are worried about this because, like, oh, I don't feel it working my abs, but I do nothing for. I haven't done a sit-up or a crunch.
You don't like to crawl around on the floor, isn't that right?
Excuse me?
You don't like to crawl around on the floor.
Oh, no. I can push-ups, actually, I've come to terms with. Occasionally I do some of those. But crunches and sit-ups, I've always really loathed.
Yeah.
They're not fun.
Now, you also... people wonder about the muscles on the leg muscles and the muscles in the lower parts of our bodies.
Yeah.
What do we do about that?
So I the actual shovel glove routine, you know, obviously is pretty upper body centric. Although you do get some. I mean, if you do these movements, kind of, you do use your legs a bit, but obviously it's not the greatest lower body workout. And the reason I don't worry about that is because there's a fantastic exercise that you can do just as part of your ordinary daily activities that makes use of your legs, which is walking. And it's, you know, all these shovel glove moves are kind of pretending to do some kind of useful activity, which we no longer do anymore. But we can still walk. And I think, so for me, I just get, I get my lower body exercise just by walking to work, taking the stairs all the time.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's another simple idea that I got from you. I saw it somewhere on your website. Mm-hmm. I work on the fifth floor of a building, and I usually just kind of, you know, drag myself in there in the morning with a cup of coffee and getting on the elevator. Yeah. And I started taking the stairs, And yeah. I was amazed at how much work it is to walk from 1 to 5.
It is. Yeah,
yeah. That's hard.
It's a great workout. And the funny thing, too, is it's actually, I don't think it's faster taking the elevator, unless you're in a skyscraper.
No, it's not faster taking the elevator.
So you're really not sacrificing anything at all.
Right. As a matter of fact, I ran into a coworker on 1. She took the elevator. I took the steps. The elevator dinged at the same time that I opened the door to the steps.
Yeah.
And I beat her up to the 5th floor. We were both going to the 5th floor.
Yeah.
And I was kind of huffing and puffing, but still able to laugh.
Yeah.
Because she was just totally freaked out. Like, what are you doing up here? I left you down here. So, you don't save any time taking the elevator. I mean, you're probably only hurting yourself taking it.
It's funny, too, because once I started, this was sort of a late, so I have this system I call Urban Ranger to kind of motivate myself to walk whenever possible as part of some useful activity. But I took this this stair climbing feature of it sort of more seriously only, I think, about the last 6 months, and I've just been amazed at how often I'm confronted with an elevator or an escalator.
It's like a snack.
It's really amazing, yeah. You just don't even notice it, and these are all kinds of opportunities to get useful exercise at absolutely no cost in terms of extra time that we're just passing up.
Right. And it's another situation like the snacking. You just don't think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, when you get on a website where somebody is doing this on purpose, and you're like, yeah, why don't I do that? There's steps in the building, you know?
Right. What a simple and easy way to get some exercise. Yeah.
And I think, you know, I've been doing this for a while, going up the steps. I think, you know, my leg muscles are starting to show that I do this now, and I'm starting to be able to kind of lightly jog up the steps.
Yeah, it's funny because it was so difficult when I first started doing this.
Yeah.
I'm on the, I guess it's the 8th floor, and I was completely just gone when I got to the top.
Oh, yes, that's a lot of stuff.
But now I have no problem, and I try to go up sort of 2 flights at a time once a day, and now that's a little bit of a strain still. But
and it sounds a lot better than those Stairmaster. I don't know if anyone or whatever those were called.
But Stairmaster's what it was.
Yeah, it's
boring.
I would get on one of those. It is. You do that for.
Boring.
I would do it for 5 or 10 minutes. And I thought, okay, I'm done with that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It's just so funny because there's so many opportunities to just really do this, and why pass those up and then spend extra time to do this in a more boring, contrived way?
Yeah. Let's give out both of your websites again. The diet one and the shovel glove one. Why don't you give those out one more time?
So the diet website is nosdiet.com, nosdiet.com. And the shovel glove sledgehammer workout site is shovelglove.com. And just shovelglove.com, no spaces, no hyphens.
Okay.
And I guess they're part of a family of sites, of self-improvement systems that I've come up with that are called Everyday Systems.
And there's another site.
That's another site.
Okay. Is that just everydaysystems.com?
Yeah. And you'll find they're all linked to each other. So if you get one of them right, you'll find the rest.
Okay.
Because, you know, it seems, Reinhardt, to me that you've been a victim of all the problems that we have in our modern day of living, our way of living. And you've sat there and systematically figured out really nice, pragmatic, fun, interesting solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm really surprised they worked, because I used to think of fun, interesting things that didn't work, but I can tell 5 years ago I got really lucky and I got on the roll.
These are just brilliant ideas, and I think people need to get on the website, because in an hour's time we can't really get into every little part of it to explain it thoroughly, but the NOS diet, if we could go over that one more time, it's, you even have a little card, there's a little business card.
Yeah,
I copied it off. And I put it on my refrigerator just to remind myself. And
good.
But now, what's the rules one more time on that?
It's no snacks, no sweets, no seconds, except sometimes on days that start with S.
And that's 14 words.
14 words, that's right.
And then in 14 minutes, is there some kind of a lucky
number that comes up over again?
14 minutes
like
is shovel glove and 14 words.
14.
And we got the whole everything figured out with these things. Now, there's also, you can actually, if people, I mean, this is all free stuff. Do you ever plan to write a book and get rich from these ideas?
I wouldn't mind, but the opportunity so far. I've got a pretty good day, interesting day job that I'm sort of focused on, and I've got a little kid. So certainly if someone makes me an offer, I can't refuse. I won't, but...
Now, does your little toddler have a little plastic sledgehammer?
She does not, no, but she's interested in sort of, you know, poking on the big one.
I'm sure it's only a matter of time. She probably weighs less than the big one.
Well, and you know, that is one thing I've got to say. It just popped in my mind here. But when my father used to go out and we used to heat with wood, he would, chop wood, you know, just for long periods of a time, you know, getting stuff ready for winter. And I would go out there and I was so upset that I was not allowed to do this with them. And they said, no, it's too heavy, you'll hurt yourself. So they got me a little hatchet. And so I went around with my little hatchet chopping up kindling.
Well, she was 9 when we let her do that. Just in case people think I was...
Oh, yeah, no, I wasn't 2. But, and it's just the thought of that made me think how fun that looked. Yep. And how much fun I had, right. You know, even just imitating what my parents were doing and the movement.
That's one of the shovel glove moves, chopping
right,
wood.
Is chopping wood, yeah.
So a driving fence post, churning butter. What are some of the other ones?
Let's see. There's, let me try to go through them in order here. There's driving fence post, there's churning butter, there is shoveling. There is sort of a weird move called... Originally it was called No Name, but now it has a plethora of names.
That's a hard one, too.
With the lever. And then there's chop wood. Then there's tuck the bales. So you sort of imagine yourself with a pitchfork tucking bales.
Up into the loft, yeah.
Stoke the oven.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. That's a fun one.
Is that one based on the coal?
It's like you're shoveling coal into a furnace.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's really fun. I don't know why. That's one of my favorite ones.
Do lunges when you thrust. You can get that lower body
in there.
It
just seems like total body. Body is going to like this.
And now, do you give a way to kind of break these exercises down and fit them all in 14 minutes? Or do you just kind of pick and choose which ones you want to do with them?
I don't think that the sort of number of reps or whatever is that important. I do have a number of different sort of... I say what I do on the site, and that changes once in a while. But I think a good way to just start, to just try this stuff out, is just do a very small number of reps of each move, like 7.
Mm-hmm.
And then just repeat through the cycle when you've gone through them once. And when the time, I always set a timer for the 14 minutes, because, you can't estimate 14 minutes. You need to, and staring at a clock will drive you crazy. So I just set the oven timer to go off, and when it goes off, I stop.
Okay.
And I don't worry too much about the number of reps. The only thing I'd caution is don't do too many of them, because I think it's really good to get, not to sort of really just focus on one. I think the whole point, or one of the big points of shovel glove, is not to just focus on some isolated muscle, but keep it interesting and keep it fun. And if you're sort of torturing yourself, that's not fun.
Right.
So I think smaller amounts of reps are really the way to...
And there's there is a lot of back and forth discussion on those bulletin boards on the Shovel Glove site.
Yeah.
A lot of people compare notes, like, you know, how they do this Shovel Glove and different things they try, and so you can get a lot of ideas, or you can even get on there and join the.
I'd actually, one of the nice things is, in a lot of these web bulletin boards, there's really sort of hostile people on there, and I don't know if it's luck or whatever, but we've had almost none of that here, so. It's very friendly and welcoming and open, and if you're doing something slightly different, we don't clobber you.
It's good to know.
I think the diversity is encouraged, really.
Yeah, it's kind of like the whole way that all these ideas are, these everyday systems of Reinhardt's ideas. They're all kind of flexible enough that you can sort of do it your own way and still have the results that you're looking for.
Well, we've got to go ahead and wrap up. We're coming to the end of our hour here. Can you go ahead and repeat those websites just one more time for us?
Yeah, it's nosediet.com, nosediet.com, shovelglove.com, and everydaysystems.com.
All right.
If you get one of those right, you can find the rest from there.
Yeah, great. You can kind of just bounce back and forth around on there. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
We know also you have a weekend Luddite idea, too, and you're probably breaking that, I guess, by by, well, maybe not.
No,
do you have your
computer
running?
Not touching the computer.
Oh, no. But they can find that too if they get on those websites and see what that's all about.
Right. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing all these wonderful ideas with everybody.
Just brilliant ideas. I hope we helped a whole lot of people solve some difficult problems here.
Yeah.
And take care and come back and talk to us another time, okay?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Reinhardt.
Thanks, Reinhardt.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Kinds of blues. Here's one of the late John Hurt's tunes. And Merle here is a pretty good example of the youngsters that loved Uncle John's playing and sort of took a liking to it and decided they'd learn a little something about it. I'll not pick much on this, just a little bit. Let Merle do most of the lead. I'll play a little sort of harmony. Maybe I'll sing it. Spike Driver's Blues. John Henry was a steel driving boy, but he went down. Yes, he went down. He went down. Take my hammer and give it to the captain. Boys, tell him I'm gone. You can tell him I'm gone. Yes, tell him I'm gone.
I need to switch her.
You're tuned in to WAIF in Cincinnati. My name is Deborah Randall. This is the Every Woman Show, and...